Morning.
Curious. All of a sudden, I'm very curious. yeah, love what Carrie shared, and Dave also touched on it, and even Ken as well, just talking about problems and all that sort of stuff. And when Carrie shared that this morning, I said, that's actually what I'm preaching about. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Joshua chapter 4. And maybe this is a story that you know, maybe it's not. This is a very unique point in Israel's history because they're about to do something that they should have done 40 years ago. All right, when they came out of Egypt, there was this wonderful promise that Moses was going to take them into the promised land. And that journey between Egypt and this river is not one that takes 40 years, just so you know. It actually just took a few weeks, and they got there. And unfortunately, in that particular moment, instead of choosing obedience, instead of trusting the God that they had all seen in such extraordinary ways, they made a decision to trust in their own wisdom. And so they walk out on this, they walk around a desert essentially for 40 years until one whole generation is gone. And so this is a new generation. This is a generation now who Moses has handed over leadership to Joshua. And they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, and they have very clear instructions given to them. A miracle is about to happen. All right? And God outlines this so clearly, and one of the amazing takeaways, and this is a whole nother message, but if you listen to God and you actually do exactly what he says, miracles will happen. But anyway, he tells them, get the Ark of the Covenant out in the middle, get the high priest to stand out in the middle. And it says the Jordan River will back up. Remember where it backs up to? Adam. Isn't that interesting? Backs up to Adam. Now the promise post-Adam is going to be fulfilled of a promised land. Anyway, they go out in the middle, and guess what happens to the water? It stops. And now an entire nation walks across a river on dry land. And they're standing on the other side now of the Jordan River, now accomplishing the one thing the last generation couldn't do. And God gives some very clear instructions. Now, you would think, okay, 40 years, this is a lot of anticipation leading up to this moment, all right? A whole generation has grown up now anticipating this moment. Don't you think that once you'd get to the other side, you would just, let's go take the land, come on. We're here, we did it, we crossed the bridge. And instead of that, though, in Joshua chapter 4, God says, hold on a second. I want you to build a memorial. Okay. And again, he gives very, very clear instructions. And so while the high priests are still out in the middle, while the Ark of the Covenant is still there, he says, I want you to choose 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel, and I want you to send each of them back to get a stone from the center of the river. Why do you think it's significant to get a rock from the middle of a river? Any? Well, yes, but like what Ken just said, there is no chance anyone could ever get that rock unless there's no water running. It shows the impossibility of the feat. It shows the miraculous power of God. And so they get a rock from the middle of the river, and they bring it over to the other side, and they build a memorial. And the reason why God says for them to build this memorial is so that whenever you walk by this, whenever your children ask, you got to tell them the story. You got to remind them. You've got to tell them, because sometimes we forget stuff. Yes? Can we all attest to this? Yes? Isn't it easy sometimes even to forget the greatness of the Sunday morning service you were just in? Like just an hour later? Yeah. And so God sort of highlights, and it's been spoken to before, and Noah built an altar, and Abraham built an altar, but now Joshua is being asked to build a memorial altar so that every time they walk past, they could remember the great thing that God had done on this particular day. And so, what I want to talk to you about is, what is your life a memorial or a monument to? What's built into your life, and what does it speak to? Does it speak to you? Does it speak to your skills? Does it speak to your wisdom? Does it speak to how much stuff you have? Or does it speak to the greatness of God? When people walk away from you, have they been to a God memorial? All right, just because I think one of the challenges that we have in this day and age is when we, you know, we struggle to speak up sometimes about Jesus, and so, you know, media has a lot of pressure. You know, we just came through this thing with George Pell, and everybody paints us with that brush. I don't know if you know that, but they're not just thinking, oh, that's a select group of Christians and all that. No, they just... Phew. People need to be able to see the true Jesus Christ in us when they're with us. And the only way for that to happen is for our lives to be a memorial to the power and the work of Jesus Christ and a living God. All right, so I want to talk through, how do you actually do that? How do you get really intentional about that? Well, the first thing you got to realize is memorials don't build themselves. All right? Memorials don't build themselves. You can't assume your life is a good reflection of Jesus Christ just because, well, I went to church. Oh, good. That's good. Awesome. But a memorial, I don't, have you ever been to the memorial that's where we go at Easter time? What's that memorial called?
The Cenotaph.
The Cenotaph, the War Cross, whatever that is, up in the Macedon Ranges, right? That's where that is. Have anyone ever been there yet? Do you think that fell into place somehow over time? No, it didn't evolve. It was very strategically built by somebody who had a very clear intent that whoever would come here would remember. What we see playing out here is God telling them, he didn't say, I'll pull out some stones from the middle, I'll build you a memorial. You don't have to do any of the work. I'll do it all for you, and please, 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 would you promise me to come back, please, sometimes, and remember the great things that I've done? No, he said, you go get the stones. You build this thing. You tell the story. And here's what we need to realize about, if my life is going to be what God asks it to be, I've got to build this thing into my life. I've got to be really intentional about how I put my life together, how I talk, how I walk, because everything that I do builds a memorial to something. And either it will be building a memorial to me, or it will be building a memorial to God. All right, and so we live in a world that builds memorials out of lots of different things. All right, that's why I got all these really cool stones, and they're just from outside, and I promise I'll put them back. I'm sure somebody's missing them. All right, we live in a culture. What do people often build their life out of? What do people build their memorials out of? All right, work. Yeah, okay, I'll put that there. What else? Stuff. Yeah, okay, I'll put that up there. What else?
Children.
Yeah, okay.
I unlocked
that one. Yeah, it's really messy and clunky. What else? What else do we build our lives at? What else would our memorials look like?
Money.
Money, yes, absolutely. Oh. What's that? Reputation. Yes, what? Who? Fame, yes. What else?
Giving,
okay, you can put that on there.
Pride,
accomplishments, all that sort of stuff, all right? This is what we invest our time into. This is what we spend our time thinking about. And all the stuff that we do, all the stuff we think about, all the stuff we spend our time on, that's really what people see when they look at you. Just because you come to church does not mean that's what people see. Okay? So, people build their lives on this stuff, all right? What happens when that happens? Well, you go back to your memorial, right? And you think, oh, what's going to help me? Which of these is going to help me right now? Well, maybe my kids will help me. Oh, but my kids are also going through stuff as well, so I can't. Okay, well, maybe my job's going to help me. Oh, but that's not really offering me much. Maybe my money's going to help me. Well, money doesn't offer me much either in the sense if I need people, if I need counsel, if I need... What we find is that what we spend most of our time building in our life offers us nothing when push comes to shove. I was talking to a whole group of computer engineers this week, and we were talking about Steve Jobs. Does everybody know who Steve Jobs is? Yeah? Who is Steve Jobs? Right? One of the founders of Apple. Right? The guy with the black shirt on and the jeans and all that sort of stuff arguably had some of the biggest technological advances in his area. Computer, phone, iPhone, iPads, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you all know how he died? He got cancer. In his last months of life, all of the memorials he built meant nothing. Because he was alone. And an iPhone doesn't help you with cancer. All the significant wins of your life that you think and you highly value, all that sort of stuff, when stuff in life happens that really matters, doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. And yet we spend so much time building them. So much time investing in them. And so what I love about this passage is it's not God saying, oh, I'll build it for you, hopefully you'll come. It says, God says, you build it. You've got to build this altar. You've got to go get these stones. You've got to put in the effort. You bring them out onto the bank. All right, verse 4 says, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord of God, your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. All right? They weren't stones like this, okay? I got mine. The tribe of Reuben. We've done our thing, you know? It says, grab a stone and carry it out on your shoulder. This is not easy. This is hard work. But it's one guy. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask. I love how it says, not might ask. In the future, for all of us, whether you have biological children or not, somebody in your world will ask you something about your life. What are you going to tell them? Well, if your memorial's in good shape and you've built it well, and they ask you what these stones mean, then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel for how long?
Forever.
Forever. But we have to take up the challenge to build the memorial. All right? It doesn't say when your children ask, you can tell them, you know, this is my rock. You know, that was the biggest one. And it was really heavy, and I carried that here. Like, it was long. It was like from all the way over. It does, has no mention of who. Except for one person. And that's God. There's no mention of who carried what and all that sort of stuff. All it says is when they will ask, you will tell them, this is when the Lord brought us across the Jordan River. And any good memorial, if we're building it on God and we're building it on trusting God, should reflect only God. Because the moment I say, well, actually, I made a lot of good choices, so I was helping God. And so here's my little stone, and oh, I've added this to it as well, and oh, I've also added this. There will come a day when that memorial will topple over because it doesn't work that way. It's not me and God, and this is a memorial to me and God. Only He deserves the glory. He is worthy of it all. And so every time we see people building altars and memorials in the Old Testament, what we see is somebody declaring he's worthy. I'm going to build something that declares that he is worthy. And our lives, we must intentionally build things up that declares that he is worthy of it all. So that when people will ask, you can give them an answer. And it's not, well, I did this and this, and then, yes, I do read my Bible and stuff. And no, it's I'm here today because he brought me here. I am who I am. I am where I am today because of him. Because he is worthy of it all, right? That's what our lives should declare. You know, we declare it a lot in song. We come into churches and we sing it out and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is that we've got to build this thing up in our life. Can I tell you that trials and tests is where you find the rocks? All right, if you want to build a memorial, you're going to need some rocks. Well, I can promise you there's only one place to find them. And that's through tests and trials. Good rocks. That's where we find them. Why? Because that's a rock that proves not in my ability, but it testifies to the goodness of God. Right? He didn't say pick up any rock, any Jordan rock will do. All right? When we went to on holiday, we were in Maui, and one morning we decided, Donna and I and my father decided we were going to climb one of the dormant volcanoes in Hawaii. All right? And so we start walking up, and we parked by the road. And when you're by the road, the mountain doesn't look so far away. But I can tell you what, it was far away. And the road was windy, and we were walking up, and what does it say? It's like the windiest road in the world, the windiest path. There's a little plaque at the beginning. Anyway, we're walking up. You see where lava has flowed down this thing. All right, it's really, really cool. We were having a good time. It was not an easy walk. We got a little bit muddy and stuff like that. And while I'm walking up there, God's just talking to me, as he often does. And I'm just looking at all these rocks up here, thinking about all the people that have passed them and all that sort of stuff. And as Donna and I get closer and closer to one of the tops, we didn't go to the tip top. I don't want to lie to you and say that I did. It was because my dad had stopped and we didn't want to, you know. It was for him. Anyway, we get up, and I'm looking around the ground, and I pick up a rock. Because the reality is not a lot of people have a rock from there. Lots of people have rocks from the beach. Lots of people have rocks from the side of the road. But not very many people have rocks from up there. And really, the kind of stories we should want to have in our life is not that I have the same rocks as everyone else. It's that I've got the rocks that not many people have, but not because of me. So when you're telling your story, which is a memorial to God, and they ask you, where did you get that rock? You don't say, well, let me tell you how great I am. I climb it. The response should be, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't have this rock at all. If it weren't for God, my life would be a mess. If it weren't for God and His grace, if it weren't for forgiveness, if it weren't for peace, if it whatever, when I was going through this trial, I should have had the same rocks as everybody else. But because I trusted in the Lord, because I persevered, because I remembered what He's done in the past, because I knew the Scriptures and I know how He brought other people through, I stayed the course. And because of that, because He's faithful, because He's always faithful, I have this rock. And I can tell you about it today because He is good. Every single one of our stories should reflect God in some way. Should be a memorial to Him. And when people say, oh man, you're so amazing that you could do that, Our response must be, it wasn't me. None of the Israelites stopped the water that day. They all knew that. None of them. It was God. And part of being intentional about building a memorial to God in our lives is going back over our own stories and remembering how it is we got where we are today. And passing by those other whatever, markers, flags, whatever in our life where we thought things were over, where we thought we were done, where we thought this was it, where we thought everything was going to crash down and all that sort of stuff, and pick up a stone. Pick up one of those stones because it's in those moments that you remember, oh God, I remember how you got me through then. Yeah. I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to build a memorial that honors you. Do you know that when we praise, we build a memorial? That's what we're doing. When we sing a song, we're building up a memorial. But if we only do it on Sunday mornings when we're singing, right? It's little. In fact, I wouldn't even say it's real. It's a momentary thing. It's a glancing back. It's not you intentionally bringing stones and intentionally building a memorial that brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Every single day you build your memorial. Because there will come days. See, I can't even build with these rocks. There will come days when stuff will happen. And if you have no memorial, you will have no anchor point, you will have nothing. When we spend time building a good memorial in our life, when trials come, it becomes our anchor point. What do I mean by that? Okay, well, say your world's gone upside down. What's our human response? And let's be very honest, everyone. Woe is me. Oh no. Alas, if you're in old English times. Alas. What else? What are the emotions that come up? God help me. Why have you forsaken me, Lord God, right? Our immediate emotional response is to freak out. This is uncharted territory. This is a storm I can't get through. You know, that's our initial reaction. We see it played out time and time again through scriptures. All right? I would be very curious as to how long the disciples waited to go down into the boat. I'd like to just to, like, time frame, they waited 10 minutes. I can imagine them being scared to death, but saying to themselves, oh, let's not go down yet. Let's not go down yet. Let's not wake him up yet. Maybe we're going to get through. Maybe it's going to calm down. Da 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 da. But eventually, because they were just humans and they were freaking out, they run up to Jesus. They wake him up. Jesus is asleep in the storm. Not because he doesn't care, but because he's not worried. They wake him up and say, hey, JC, what's up? Hey, don't mean to bother you, but look, we're drowning. You know, we're drowning. You know, that's what we do. And Jesus simply stands up. He doesn't say, oh God, is this how it's all going to end? He knows how this all ends, yes? And it's not in a boat, in a storm. And so he just quietly gets up. He says, okay, guys, I can see you're not having a great faith day. Wind and rain stop. Crazy, right? And it would have been just like this noise right now. They would have been standing there going, wow, we just probably thought you were going to be a better boats person than us because you're the master, you know, like, I don't know, something. But when I build a memorial, even if I don't have my own great stories, I have the Bible. I have stories like that one. I'm in the middle of a storm. I am freaking out. The world looks like it's coming crashing down. It looks like this might be the end. But then I pull out Jesus in the boat. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. If he can calm the storm then, he can calm the storm now. You see how that instantly becomes an anchor point for you. As long as you've got something to grab onto, as long as you've got a memorial to run to, as long as you've built something into your world, it's not just for other people. Do you understand? It's for you too, because you're going to have bad days. We're going to have days or weeks or months where things just seem to be shifting far beyond our control. If I've built that memorial, then I can still count my blessings. Do you know how? Because I built something and I can see them. I don't know how you frame out that verse in Psalms, count your blessings. But if you've built something that you can see, okay, there's that one, that one, that one, that one. That one, that one. If you've built a memorial, you can count them. You know them all. Because I've built this up really well. I remember moments, days that were really hard, and he got me through then. He hasn't brought me this far to let me down now. Do you understand how, if I'm intentional, if we're intentional about building a memorial in our life, then when things go wrong, we come back to the memorial. When things are uncertain, we come back to the memorial. Your Bible is a memorial to the faithfulness of God, to His promises. But don't trust the open and shoot method of finding something in the Bible. And, well, he said this is a memorial, and technically I do have a Bible, so I'm just going to flip open to Lamentations chapter 3. Oh, okay. Well, let's speak to me, Lord, you know. If you know the verses, if you know the stories where all seemed lost, but God was in control. God knew exactly what was going on. It's up to us to build the memorial. The more intentional I am about building that memorial, the more other people will see it. It's not some little thing made out of four rocks in my life, which is really hard to see. But it becomes a tower that other people can see. In dark times, when they're not having a great day, guess what they can see? They have no memorial, or the one they thought they built is like that. All the things they trusted so far in their life have let them down. They're looking to somewhere else. I had a very unique experience last week. I'm in Melbourne. I'm working with a group of people who have never met me before in my life, and this is not a Christian event. There's a guy, while I'm doing this training, he says, you know, he was courageous enough to, we were talking about emotional intelligence. And he said, you know what? Does it affect you, though, when you've been through trauma? He says, in this corporate office, when you've been through trauma. I said, wow. I said, thank you. I said, not a lot of people would be open enough to have that conversation, but I said, yeah, trauma does affect you. Trauma is a destroyer of people. And emotional intelligence actually helps us deal with all of that stuff and sort through all of that stuff. Anyway, this guy comes to talk to me. As soon as we had break, he made a beeline for me. I'm like, hey, how's it going? All that sort of stuff. And he just starts. This is not a Christian event. I have not gotten up there and said, hey, I'm a pastor. I work in churches. None of that. And he said, you know, I really struggle with who I am. But I can see that you don't. Wow. Just, I was just like, I said, thank you. But I do know who I am. And I said, I can see you too, though. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, you're stronger than you think you are. Yeah. And I just started to speak into his life. It was awesome. And he almost started crying. And then at the end of the day, he comes up to me and he says, thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking into my life. You changed my life. I'm like, this was not my intent. This was not what I went there to do, all that sort of stuff. But he saw something in me. I wasn't trying to publicize anything. And I'm certainly not trying to toot my own horn. But he just saw it. And because he saw it, he asked. He asked, what is it? And this is what the Bible says. When they ask, they will ask. Not maybe, not hopefully. Their life one day will be in ruin, and they will ask if we will build. They will ask. And because they built, their children asked. But you see, if we don't care to build, then they will not ask, because they don't see anything different about you than what they see in their own life. There's no point of difference, except you wake up early on Sundays too. There has to be something that is seen. There has to be something that is tangible in us. And that tangible thing takes a lot of time and energy, people. To sit down at the end of a day and just say thank you to God for where I am. Thank you, dear God, even though I'm not feeling great. Thank you for what you've brought me through. To sit down and say you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. To grab a rock from today. Build the memorial. Thank you for getting me through today. Thank you for getting me through that meeting. God, thank you so much for being present. Thank you for giving me a word for that person. And day by day, you build the memorial that is a testament to God and His goodness, so that when they ask, they'll know that it's not just a song you sing in church. It's the story of my life. And if it weren't for God, I'd be way back there in ruin. But praise the Lord, I'm not there anymore. That should be the story. I believe that God has an adventure for all of us to live. Do you believe that? All right? I don't believe in living in the wilderness. I don't believe that. I don't think it's biblical. I don't think that was ever the intent. All right, if you read the story, it was supposed to be a 2-week trip. Turned out to be a 40-year journey. God has adventures for us to... The other benefit of a memorial is when God comes knocking and asks you to do something in faith, you grab onto the memorial and say, I'll do it, God, because you have always done it. It gives us the courage to step out in faith. I don't even have to question this, because remember I stepped out in faith there, and you look at that other rock, remember we stepped out in faith there, and you look at this, remember we stepped, let's go. Let's do this. We don't understand everything, all about, man, I trust Him. I trust Him. It gives us the courage to be obedient, even in the face of something that's illogical, even in the face of something that people would say that's dumb, stupid, or whatever. I know that He's with me, and I don't need anything else. This is the benefit of having something like this built into your life intentionally. Now, here's the good news. If you're here this morning and you're not a great memorial builder, that's okay. Because I know one. Jesus was a great memorial builder. The cross became the greatest memorial of all time. A point in history that changed history, that everyone remembers. Through Jesus, we can learn how to build good altars, good memorials. And at the center of every good memorial is a cross. Because without the cross, there is no memorial. And so, no matter where you've been, no matter how good you're doing, no matter what you've been building your life on or anything like that, I hope that today what you're hearing is, I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. This is no condemnation, guys, no shame. I'm not trying to, oh, my altar's supposed to be better and it's not good and all that. But forget that. Go ahead, guys. I already had an altar call with them earlier, so it's good. All right, one of the things that sometimes when you hear messages like this and you reflect on your own life and you're thinking, oh, dear Lord, I'm not doing a great job. That's okay. It's a new day. Let's start today. Well, officially, I know two stories. The cross and Joshua in Joshua chapter 4 when they picked up the stones because they crossed the Jordan River. and you start putting stones. Start building the memorial. Another thing I would imagine that people begin to think about is, what on earth have I been building in my life? What have I been investing my life, my time, my energy, my thoughts in? Maybe this is just supposed to be a space for you to simply ask forgiveness and say, God, I've been wasting a lot of time building things that don't matter. But as of today, I want to get focused on building a memorial that brings glory to your name, yeah? Can we just stand together? Yeah, please, Mel. Thanks. Mel's just going to play. We're not going to sing this through, but it's a bridge to a song. And it just simply says, you've been so good to me. And that's what I want to reflect. All the songs this morning really have come around this idea, this theme. But I just want you to reflect on your own life, okay? Nobody's watching. This is not about anybody else but you. And I just want you to have a think in this moment and just believe that this is actually like a sacred moment, a holy moment. If you're reflecting on my words or God's words to you this morning and you're just saying, God, I'm not doing a good job. And you just want to say, God, forgive me. Because I've built a lot of other things, but I haven't built this well. If that's you this morning, great. God's here. His grace is here. And if we will ask for forgiveness, He will forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of the things that we've not done well. And so if that's you, just put up your hand. Just raise up your hand. And if we're being honest, we've all done this. And in some ways, we could all say, God, forgive us for investing our time and energy in things that don't matter. But we want to have a life, Lord God, that reflects you well. We want to have a memorial built in our lives, Lord God, that brings glory and honor to your name. If you're here this morning and you don't believe that God can build something good out of your life, then can I encourage you? What we see in the Bible is God using often very broken people. And in the Master's hands, you can be a masterpiece. And so I want to speak against the stones that other people have put in your life. Other words that have been spoken that you took on board and you put into your life and you made important. I want to speak against those words this morning, against those ideas, because they did not come from God. They are lies that the enemy is using to keep you in ruin. And God wants to take this moment to remind you of some of the great things He has in store for you. One of which is peace. If you can get rid of those rocks and start replacing them with some good truths out of the Bible, what you will see is that stress, that worry that you wrestle with will be replaced with peace. Because while I may not be in control, He is in control. I don't have to rely on myself. My strength does not have to be sufficient because His strength is sufficient. I don't have to know it all because I know that He knows it all. And just begin to rebuild that altar. You'll find peace. you will find joy. You will find a freedom that maybe you've never experienced before. God, I just pray for a release right now. I break down those memorials full of lies. I break them down in the mighty name of Jesus. They are not of God, and they do not belong in your life. Freedom. Freedom over your life right now. God, in this place, I pray that we this morning, just this morning, have found some new stones. Some good quality stones that are secure that we can begin to build with. God, we recognize that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And off of Him, we can build wonderful things that bring glory and honor to Your mighty name. So God, I pray that we would commit ourselves to be good memorial builders. Not just for us, not just for our moments of crisis and trial, and not just for our ability or courage to find courage to take great steps of faith, but for the many other people around us who don't have a memorial to go to that's strong and secure, that we would be a light in the darkness because we intentionally built a great altar that brought glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. God bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope this stays with you. I hope you take it with you. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Greater days are ahead for you. There are other rocks that God wants to put into your memorial. Greater triumphs, greater victories.
Amen.
Wonderful days. Trust Him today, and He'll get you there. He will take you there because He's always faithful. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.